We join the Super Legit crew before the show as Jet does his regular check-in with the guest. I ask this question of every guest, and the answer is almost always no. But you happened to listen to any episodes of the show?
Not a bit.
Great, perfect. You're right.
I meant to on the ride home tonight, and I did not remember. Instead, I listened to Dave Matthews Band Under the Table and Dreaming.
Yes!
Oh, that's
yes! That's a great album. Absolutely.
That'll prepare you actually better than
the
really?
Okay, good. We do a lot of violence.
So I'll walk you real quick through the format. It's just it's a living room into scenes. The question that that Michael Hyman will pose near the top of the show, he'll throw that to you first.
Okay.
But in general, it's going
to
be.
Oh my
open.
God! I just got so excited. I didn't know you were going to get to improvise.
Oh, you thought we were just going to talk about improvising?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I was like, are we on a Dungeons and Dragons thing? Like, what's about to happen?
If this was a regular podcast, there wouldn't be a woman.
We also
on
play
it.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, I wish.
Yes, that's right.
But talk about the level of yes and right there. Dungeons and Dragons, talking, whatever.
Whatever, let's go. It's the Super Legit Podcast Season 2. Hey, everybody. I'm your host, Jet Kaufman, and I'm going to get right into the amazing people that I have in the virtual room with me. We've got Josh Spence.
Not going to argue about co-hosting anymore. Congratulations.
Beautiful. Beautiful. We're so happy for your growth, Josh. Jen Burton.
I am going to start. I'm going to start being a co-host nominator.
All right. We'll see how that works out for you. Might work out really well. We'll find out. Chris Sanders.
Hi, I'm the co-host.
God damn it. Yes! I've already lost.
Stephen C. James.
We're going full Friday Night Lights with Season 2. I'm getting shark DNA.
And my actual confirmed official co-host, Michael Hyman.
Hello, Jet. I am also a co-host. You should read that like I'm Spartacus. We're all co-hosting now. We're all Spartacusing. I definitely did not get past the first season of Friday Night Lights, so thank you, Steve.
Oh, man. Wasn't 300 kind of Spartacusing?
Very much so.
Yeah. Oh, there's a new verb. Yeah.
Yes.
Michael Hyman, who is our guest for our season premiere?
Jet, our season premiere guest is Jillian Bellinger. She is an improviser, actor, writer, teacher, and super multi-hyphenate. You can see her on screen on Disney, Hulu, and VH1. She co-wrote Trump in Space, a staple of Second City Hollywood, and starred at West End Comedy with one of their premier house teams, Lucy. Currently, you can hear her now as our new favorite guest. Hello, Jillian.
Yay!
Welcome.
Yay!
By the way, past guest.
Hey, where did you get that bio? Because if you could type that up for me, just send it to
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
I got it from my bio's excellent. The worst.
I got it from my manager.
Oh, great. Perfect.
I think that the underlying great. Theme of this podcast is going to be saying things that we wish we had written down.
Yeah. Great.
One thing I will say, the first time I went to West Side Comedy, the first show I ever saw there was Lucy. I thought that was such a great team, such a great show. Everybody on that team was fantastic. Wish you guys were still doing it. Like that was a real good time.
Thank you. I think almost 90% of that team doesn't live in LA anymore.
Yeah,
including yourself.
Yeah, including yourself.
That describes a lot of the improv teams we remember well.
Yeah, it's fair. Hey, everybody.
Hi.
I'm Jillian, and I'm tuning in from Asheville, North Carolina.
Woo!
Still doing improv, though. Still living the improv dream. I actually opened an improv training center here.
Fantastic.
Wow. That's
you've been there for like 5 minutes.
For hippies?
And do you have like obstacles and stuff?
Yeah. We have a full ropes course.
That's great. That's great.
And you have to tell puns and do 185 as you make your way across.
I gotta make it up to Asheville.
I think the greatest obstacle is being in the South. From having grown up in Texas, that's the biggest obstacle.
That's not a bit. That is ongoing obstacle that I face regularly on a daily basis.
Instructor Jillian, you're really stringing me along.
I'll also, how did you vote? I see that maybe there's a question I should be pondering in my life.
Co-host, what have we got?
I actually had a question I wanted to ask Jillian personally before we got to the question, because Jillian, you said you started a training center. What is the improv scene like in Asheville, North Carolina? Not, you know, a city that we generally think of when we think of major improv
scenes. Fair. Yet.
Oh.
So what's it like? What is it like? Is there a theater?
Is there
a community?
There is a community that's actually been here for a minute. So pre-Pandy, there was a place called Asheville Improv Collective. And they didn't survive the Pandy, which was sad. And they really did cultivate a fair amount of improvisers. It kind of fractured the scene a bit. So there were teachers and no sort of centralized place that people were.
Sounds familiar.
Were improvising. And I think, so Asheville is just under 100,000. And when your population is 100,000, fracturing is hard because it's not the same as LA where you have a dozen improvisers, but you have lots of people, and it doesn't matter. Everyone can have all of the students and still have all of the people. Here it's a little bit more interesting because it sort of became kind of insular to improvisers improvising for each other, which we're all familiar with that as an idea.
Even but in LA.
But how do you like connect to like the dentist or like the accountant or like, you know, just somebody who's new to town and wants to make friends. And so that's kind of where we fit now. We're called Misfit, and we're the school for everybody.
Congrats.
That's kind of how I think of us.
That's awesome.
That is amazing.
Love it.
That's a good spot for you. You're a very welcoming improviser.
Thank you. Yeah. I am fiercely welcoming in maybe a militant way.
Militantly,
you will
welcoming.
Be welcomed.
Yes. I mean, kind of. I do
also
stand at the
perfect
door.
Improv team name.
A little bit. Yeah, that is a good one. I stand at the door kind of like, I think of myself a little bit like a pastor where I'm like, welcome. It's so wonderful you're here. Thank you so much for being here. And they're like, it's probably very overwhelming, but I'm like, you're great. What was your name? I'm so excited you're here. And just sort of like, I'm desperately trying to
tell them about the good initiation.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to like build community. Like I want it to matter to people beyond just, hey, that was funny. There's plenty of improvisers around that can do bits. It's like, I want to find that person who didn't have a place, and now they do.
That's awesome.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, Jeff.
For your wonderful personal question, good co-hosting there.
Thank you. Took me 100 episodes to get it down, but I'm there.
Season 2, we're coming in hot.
I think it's the whole thing is that you don't have the pressure now of somebody chasing at your heels trying to take your job. Now you
I can just leave, guys. It's really not a big deal. It's fine. Like,
I'm like a second-term president. I don't care anymore. I can just like actually let loose.
Yeah. Lame duck Hyman.
That's
it.
Oh, good new nickname.
That's what they called me in middle school, unfortunately.
Oh, no. For the same reason or different reasons?
It had to do with the duck Hyman.
Exact same reason.
So what's our big question for this week, Michael Hyman?
This week, the question coming from listener Ace Lincoln. Is
made up.
What's a piece of art that you've had for a long time, and what is its story? Jillian, we'd love to have you jump right in if you've got one to go.
So let me take you back.
Ooh.
We're gonna go back.
Story time.
So my mother grew up in Lexington, North Carolina, which is a very small town. And her father ran a grocery store before there were big grocery stores. Then, I think it was the Piggly Wiggly came into town and blasted him right out of business. So he turned his grocery store into a gas station convenience store that also did betting on the side.
What?
And he ran like bookie type
stuff. Oh, betting. I thought you meant betting like it was like a mattress firm.
Yeah, that's how it was.
That's how I heard it as well. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Hey, you want these 2,000 thread couch sheets?
My casualty from growing up in Texas is coming out. Betting. The betting. So
he was a bookie.
He was a bookie. Yeah. And also, you know, sold bottled Coke and where you like pop the cap on it and stuff. It had like wood.
It's easier to pour it into lines when it's in a bottle.
That's true.
Yeah. Bottled Coke, wink, wink.
Different kind of Coke. I think we're misunderstanding again, guys.
Soft tea, guys. Soft tea.
Oh, okay. All right. I mean, okay.
Back in the day, it had Coke and
Coke. Statue of limitations.
So
that's fair. That's true.
Anyway, there was a transient sort of fella about town, because, you know, small towns, especially in like the 50s, they were like places where characters could be and people were down with that. So there was this fella. He was an aroundabout sort of dude that struggled with alcoholism. And he would come to my grandfather's store and, you know, ask for food or Coke or the other kind of Coke or whatever.
Or betting.
And my grandfather would always ask him, he would say, "I will give it to you if you trade me a painting." Because this guy actually was a really talented artist.
Wow.
And so we have a really large painting in our house of my grandfather's gas station, grocery store, betting facility downstairs that this man painted. And there's like a lot of nostalgia to it, and I think it's a sweet story. And
that's a great story.
It's that just is. Of a different era, too. And it says like Smith Recreation Center, which is a very savvy way of saying gambling hall. Yeah, so that we have that piece of art downstairs.
It's super.
I'd love some sheets. I'm sorry, I came in here expecting to like drop a few hundred bucks on a like a craps or something, but is this literally just sheets?
No, here? No, we get that all the time. See, it's English is not my first language. We sell toilets here. It's a shit store. Yes.
Okay.
All you could ever want in any toilets. We have chain flush. We have whirlpool, whole section of bidets. We have a special from my home country of Andorra. We have what we call a whirl flushy. And what it does is it sprays the water in a small circle, a very small circle like my country, Andorra. And it cleans your backside in a way that will make you think of the Pyrenees Mountains of my home.
I can't say I've ever thought of the Pyrenees Mountains ever. I will now out of curiosity, but that's...
Well, sir, please. I invite you to take a test sit. Let me make sure I'm saying that word correctly. I do not mean that you actually do any. I just rest yourself.
Okay, you did say sit. Okay, yeah. Good. I'm glad we're clarifying this right. Should I take off the pants though? Because I'm not sure.
No,
I
would prefer if you did not. We like to keep things very hygienic here.
Okay.
You see, sir, I want to be the welcoming presence for you. Now, your bathroom is a private space, but this is a public space. That's why I stand at the door. And every one of my customers, when they walk in, I look them in the eye. And I try to hold that eye contact as though to say, I see you so that you can be comfortable when no one else can see you.
Yeah, I don't mean to tell you how to do your job, but the eye contact, it actually made me feel uncomfortable. It was a lot. I felt like I was talking to Michael Caine there for a minute. It was a lot of eye contact.
I'm so sorry. In Andorra, we are a very present people. We don't have the screens and the distractions and what the Americans have. But in Andorra, we like to linger pupil to pupil for as long as...
All right, well, I'm gonna go ahead and sit on this toilet. Oh, wow, you're really not breaking the eye contact while I sit on this. Okay.
I'm sorry. If you'd like, I can do something American, like eat a piece of cheese that is wrapped in a single piece of plastic that will last forever. Or, let's see, I can talk about how much I care about another person's rights, but then act against it as soon as you look away. How can I be of help?
That one works for me.
Estradio, what are you doing? We're all in the back.
I'm so sorry. Sweetheart, come here.
It's so nice to meet you.
Oh, well, hello.
This is my partner. And I'm sorry, I'm Estradio. And this is my partner.
I'm Ralph.
This is Nicesia.
You have beautiful eyes.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, you have unblinkingly beautiful eyes as well.
Yes. Thank you for noticing.
I feel so awkward meeting you from a toilet. This is not how I usually meet new people.
Don't feel awkward. This is normal.
It's our everyday.
The toilet is quite comfortable. You're right. I didn't expect that.
Did you see the remote control?
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, no, I didn't. That is a lot of buttons.
Also, Lestario installed a gun holster on the side.
For your peoples.
Oh my
yes.
God, how American can you get?
Well, you see, let me brag about Nicesia for just a bit here. She hand carves every single toilet in this store out of marble.
Yes.
And it is my job just to put little pieces of flair on them. See, here is a blindfold that comes out of the back right next to the toilet rack, so that way you can cover your eyes anytime something terrible happens on the news and you can pretend it won't affect you.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, how thoughtful. I've never been in a toilet store that knew my culture so well, but honestly I've never been in a toilet store before, but I'm loving this. I'm loving this experience.
Yes, we love sheets.
Yes, we love it. In fact, Nicesia. May I impose? I do not know if this Ralph was it, sir. I do not know if this Ralph is going to buy a toilet from us. Yeah. But I do know this: mm-hmm. He made the same mistake that oftentimes people make. Mm-hmm. Can you go to the linen closet and get the spare sheets?
Yes, and I will get you the sheets.
He needs some sheets. These are 400 thread count Egyptian cotton. I think you will very much enjoy them. And hey, maybe you buy a toilet, maybe you don't. But when you pillow your head tonight, I know you will be thinking of us.
Oh, thank you. Wow, these sheets are beautiful, but... Oh, God, they smell like shit.
Mama, Papa, why do you give my sheets away?
Legit.
And that's how we do it. That's how it's done. Yeah.
Junior has a problem. Junior has a problem.
Excellent. No notes.
You're welcome.
No. Good job.
I think I'm going to be giggling about that line for a while.
So, a question to the question. What?
No. New season. No more of that shit. Just okay, answer, Josh.
No, I want them. I want clarifications.
I know. Jet, you love it.
I do. I love this.
If it's a problem, I won't ask the question.
No, it's not. I want to hear the question.
Ask the question.
Ask it.
What defines art?
Oh, my God.
Holy
shit. You have to take that back. No, don't want it anymore.
So here's...
What is art?
The biggest philosophical question of all time.
Here's why.
After what is life?
Here's why. Hold on. Okay. No. I'm gonna shorthand it for him, because I'm going to make this simple before it gets too big.
Thank you, Steve.
This is something that when somebody walks in your house, they can see it, and it's somebody else's creative expression. Done for the purposes of this question.
Wow. That's
very good.
Okay.
Yeah, well done.
So, okay.
Can you answer the meaning of life, too, while you're at it?
No, yes, it's to love and to be loved.
Oh.
There it is.
That's nice.
Legit, somebody else do this story.
That's it. Well, I have a piece of art I could talk about.
Oh,
that's related to the last scene.
Oh,
that
is it shit
Sheets? Is this shitty sheets?
Shitty sheets. Jen. I've hung it's them on my wall. I found them on the street.
400 thread count.
Burton. Yep. No, actually, it's
horrible.
It's,
no, it's pretty bad. Yeah.
It's a print of a. It's a handmade piece of art from my brother-in-law of a dung beetle, and it's like painted right. and layered, and it has all these like things about it, and. Really, the truth is that I actually have a bunch of dung beetle art from him specifically, which he gives me every Christmas. Now, that sounds passive aggressive when I say it.
Isn't the balls of sheet that dung beetles roll art in itself?
Art? Yes. They're round. They are an expression of creativity.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it stems from
oh, wow.
the history behind this is that one time we were all home for Christmas and... one of my nieces wanted to know about dung beetles because she had heard that dung beetles rolled poop. And Got then that. My stepbrother sang this song that we all thought was hilarious. And my nieces sang pretty much nonstop for like a full year.
Yeah.
And this is the song.
Oh, I'm so already.
Here
so
we go. It goes, I am a dung beetle, a shiny black dung beetle. Walking with my front legs, pushing poo-poo with my back legs, dung beetle. A great song, obviously. And this was literally...
That's a new song.
I think that's from the B-52s.
Yeah, are we going to get in trouble with Lars Ulrich for that?
Pushing poo-poo with my back legs.
It only has one note. Yeah, and it's not even really a song, but really what it did was it opened up a portal to hell in which we all had to hear that song. Nonstop from toddlers for a full, I mean, yeah. probably for longer. It went on and on wow. and on. At any rate, and now he sends me dung beetle art every Christmas.
I have a question about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So is he an artist in general?
Yes. And he teaches art at my old high school.
Okay.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's at least like some skill to the dung beetle art.
No.
Okay.
That no was so like, fast.
I know.
A hand scrawled doodle from somebody who hates me.
So he's like, sending you his reject art?
Yeah. No, actually, so they're really
I can,
some of them
I can
are really
see
good.
You seeing this, Jen Burton, and this is no benefit to the listeners, but can you tilt your camera so that we can see
yes,
it?
Please.
I see you.
I
looking
gotta
over,
get up and get it. It's literally in the other room. I can go get it.
Yeah, we can edit the silence out.
Okay,
because I
want
to see this so bad.
You're going to be disappointed because it's not black, but that.
Oh, that's so
that?
Cool.
And
oh,
what you can't tell is that it's like layered pieces of paper.
Oh. And so it's like a mosaic kind of
it's
thing?
It's kind of like a mosaic. This
collage
truly
kind of?
Is yeah. not get, doing
Holy
it justice. Shmice.
Yeah, you got to send
cool.
us a photo of that, Jen,
is
so we can put that in the
new logo.
Oh,
is the superhero, the DC superhero Blue Beetle, is that a dung beetle?
He's not a dung beetle.
In my mind.
Scarab.
He calls it a scarab, but it's a very, very, it's
dung-y.
Very beetle-y.
Dungian.
Yes, I would call it Dungian.
Family
yeah.
of insects, scarab beetles and dung beetles. I'm almost
yeah.
positive.
I mean, you're beetles. I mean, they. Which
and
are
I
more,
do believe scarab beetles are also scavengers in that they eat flesh and detritus. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
did you learn that Perfect. From The Mummy,
starring
Brendan Fraser?
I mean.
And Rachel Weisz.
Yes, of course. Okay. Because I am a researcher. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A researcher of Egyptology and antiquities?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, I am.
Good.
Super.
Students, I've got a confession to make. I'm your professor and everything, but I... just have to admit, everything I learned about archaeology, I learned from Harrison Ford and Brendan Fraser films.
What?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, did you say Harrison Ford in Brendan Fraser films or Harrison Ford and Brendan Fraser
films? That was
going
to be my question, yeah.
No, that would be a movie I'd love to see. Like, School Ties and Cowboys
no,
and Aliens,
wait,
but
no way, Teach. You can't. There's no way because I've been performing. You what you've told us is reality, and I've been recreating what you say is real. Like, watch the sound it makes when I punch people.
Yeah.
See, it sounds like spaghetti wrapped up in newspaper being broken over a knee.
I just have a quick question as a Gen Zer. Who's Harrison Ford and Brendan Fraser?
Okay.
That was gonna be my question too.
Oh my, yes, what?
Okay, I can field this one. Remember the movie that you were protesting for its abhorrent representation of people of size last year, The Whale? The guy that starred in that is Brendan Fraser, right?
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And remember how your grandfather was really upset because they killed a guy in a space movie a couple of years back? That's Harrison Ford.
Oh, yeah, that's what he was complaining about.
So that's who they are. And they starred, both of them, in some movies where they were adventurers. And I thought I'd be an adventurer, too. And it really seemed like step one was, you know, teaching a class to a bunch of wide-eyed students, and then I'd go out and have adventures. But all I've really done is started having a bit of a drinking problem as I wonder how I'm going to get tenure. And then, you know, trying to hit on grad students, which just feels really sad at this point.
So I've been digging a hole in my backyard for the last several months based on the information that you gave us about finding various biblical items under the ground. Is that not accurate? Because I've destroyed my family's backyard.
Well, I wouldn't say it's inaccurate, because they, as far as I know, from the films that I've watched, there could still be a biblical septic tank of some sort in your backyard. So,
well, I did hit a sewage line, so that would track.
And then there could be something in the sewage that leads you to the Constitution. I've also watched some Nicolas Cage films.
I was just about to ask that, Mr. James, because you were telling us about all the stuff written on the back of the Constitution and all the ways that it was hidden. That's all true, correct?
Well, from what I know, from my extensive research time when I was studying in the basement of the Alamo, yes, that is true.
I just have another question.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Should we keep calling you doctor?
Yes, but you have to say it with that inflection.
Doctor?
Exactly. There, you got it correct.
Okay, doctor? Doctor, mm-hmm. Teach? Wait, but I went on adventures with you. Don't you remember the time that we found the Temple of Doom? Teach, this is the bar at Applebee's.
And there's no shittier bar in all of the city. I was puking Appletinis for a long time. I was really hoping to discover that bartender's number, but they would not give it to me.
I have a question. Can I erase, can I remove the love you from my eyelids?
Oh my God, I was going to ask the same thing, Carolyn.
Because all of the women in this class, you told us at the beginning to write love you
love
on our eyelids
you.
With no, no explanation.
I didn't know if it was only the women who were allowed to do it, so I just went for it.
Ran, and now I just look like I have streaky eyelids.
Also, I've been propositioned inappropriately by people I see in the hall.
Well, maybe you shouldn't nap in the hallway. I mean, yeah. I don't mean to victim blame here.
That's scary.
And let me also say, it is gender blind. I am a modern professor. I'm not some old fogey like Professor Jones or Professor Brendan Fraser's character name. So if you guys want to write your eyelid names love on there, you can feel free.
Doctor?
Mm-hmm.
So one more question. Could you just, you know, for Caroline and I, is it possible for you to stop prompting us to scream when things happen as sort of an emotional reaction? I mean, we don't really need to scream. We're here like everybody else.
It is true that you can go ahead and stop that. I will also say, I will stop bringing all of the bugs that I find in my apartment. So many bugs. And tossing them out. And you know what? I will also say, that time I brought you snacks now feels a bit racist. I'm going to say that. I'm going to be honest. It feels a bit culturally insensitive.
I
was making like...
You mean the poisoned dates you brought?
No. Oh, those weren't poisoned. They had
Do
just
you
been
mean
out
monkey
for a long
brain?
Time. Yes, it was indeed the monkey brain. Yes, it was the monkey brain. I apologize for that. And you know what else? I would also like to apologize to my neighbor, who still has those reward if found posters for his capuchin.
Yeah, that kid's dead.
From the prions.
Legit.
So, legit.
Trying to remember literally.
I think there's like five people who understood legit? The prion reference. In the-
no, no, no. I know the mad cow.
Disease.
I know.
Okay, good.
Full right. The prions. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why I got real quiet. Just made me real sad. Just made me real sad.
It is time for our ad break, isn't it, sure Michael
is.
Hyman?
It sure is, actually. Yes. You're correct, Jet.
Well, let's hear who our sponsor is for this week's episode.
We do have an ad, and I have it. And here it is. Hey, folks, have you ever... You know what? I don't want to say. I don't want you to know. No, really. This is supposed to be an ad about a product, but this is making me uncomfortable. Do you think capitalism has gone too far? Do you think that... Maybe we are trying to sell things to people to solve problems they don't have. You know, this is just a hint, but listen. I saw Joaquin Phoenix in a movie, and my eyes got open. So listen, this product, this ad, this isn't for anything. This is I don't want to say. And you know what? Just look away. Look away. Don't look at this. Please look away. This ad doesn't exist. What you want? Listen, go outside, sheeple. Just look at the sun. That'll help you so much. Just go outside and look at the sun and touch some grass and save your money. You can't you can't see me nodding, but you can hear it emphatically.
Whoosh, whoosh.
Oh boy. Whoosh. Wow. And they paid for that spot on the podcast.
They did. Yes. It's clear the actor, if we can call it that, was going through something.
All right.
And I identify with that.
Well, as long as the check cleared, I really have no complaints.
It definitely did not. It bounced hard.
Oh, wow. So the season one policy of as long as the check clears has been rescinded.
I have one. I have a piece of art.
Oh, sweet.
So when I moved to California in 1999.
Oh, sorry, Steven. I thought you meant ad.
No, I don't have an ad. No. That involves focus and writing. Which when there's a 9-year-old in your house, that does not happen a lot. But I do have a story about a piece of art. So in 99, when I moved here, I got a job waiting tables, and it was hell. It was shitty. It was awful. And I had no money. I had like exactly enough money to pay for the things I needed to survive. And there was nothing extra. And then I got the real job, the job that technically I still have right now. And suddenly I had grown up money.
Right?
Yeah, I had all the money because I'm a school teacher, which we all know those fucking fat cats. So suddenly at 23, I was making the money that an adult makes. And I was like, woohoo. And so I bought this piece of art. That was a poster. It was a poster that cost me like $25, but then I got it framed. And the framing cost like $120. But I was like, I can actually afford this. And it still hangs up in my house. And it's like the first thing I bought with my grown-up money. And it's the only thing that has traveled with me to every place that I've lived over the past, I do the math, 25 years. No, more than 25 years. Holy shit, it's going to be, 99, I'm bad at math. 25 years, there we go.
Yep.
The 25 years that I've lived in Los Angeles. And it's the only thing that I've, like, hung up every single place I've lived. You know, even when I was living with other people, it's the only thing that I insisted go up. And it's a piece, it's a Magritte piece called La Grande Familia, I believe. I'm not sure. I don't speak French. But it's this, to describe the image, because it's surrealist, it's like there's a cloudy sky in stormy water, but there's this silhouette of a bird, and when you look at the bird, it's actually like a beautiful day in the shape of a bird that's superimposed on top of this stormy sky. And that's sort of like, I think, a metaphor for life and existence and all that stuff, where it's like you look and you see the storm clouds, but there is like beauty on the wing, just if you wait for it, just if you look in the right spot.
Yeah, super.
Hi, Magritte. I don't mean to complain. I know that you are a fantastic artist, but you did say that, I mean, we asked for a portrait of our family, of La Familia, and what I see is a bird, and I don't see my son anywhere, my daughter, my husband, you know, any of us. None of us are in your painting, so I'm just confused about what we're paying for here.
I wanted to represent my vision of your family.
Okay, because we paid for a portrait, and I'm not a bird.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. I don't mean to complain. I am very happy to have a Magritte.
But are you sure?
Am I sure I'm not a bird?
Yes.
I mean, obviously, you know, I'm pretty sure we live a long time ago, so maybe there's not mirrors. I don't know. But, I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm not a bird.
Ah, yes.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Am I a bird?
See, that is not for me to say, but it is for me to impress upon the canvas. You see what I'm saying here?
I mean, I feel like what you're saying is that I'm a bird, and I don't know I'm a bird.
Look, I'm really sorry that happened to you with Magritte. I mean, him and I used to work together. He's horrible, but your buddy here, you greet. I'm going to do this great family oil portrait for you. It's going to be fantastic.
That's great. I mean, I'll be honest, having a Yagreet is not as impressive to my other wealthy friends as having
understandably
a Magritte.
So. Yeah, I know.
But as long as you don't try to convince me I am a bird, then I will be, I mean, I guess I will be happy with that, because I actually had to go into an institution for a while. I believed I was a bird based on what he said.
Sure. It's not like you have a beak at all. I would never say that. But, like, when I do the full portrait, like, the hollow legs will be very prominent in the
hollow
lower half.
Legs?
Yeah.
Wait
so
a minute.
That's how you fly with the hollow leg. That's,
okay, first
that's
of all,
not...
birds do not have hollow legs.
They have.
Are
they
you
totally
telling
me
that
hollow
I have
legs.
Hollow legs? Because that's not even a bird. I don't even know what that is.
Are you telling
do
me
I
that you don't have hollow legs?
And I don't
what
know that
I
have hollow
you?
Legs.
What's my inspiration then? If you don't have hollow legs and lay eggs, what are we talking about?
I lay eggs. I make eggs.
I was admiring your new painting. I almost thought this was a Magritte, but then I realized it's a Yagreet, isn't it?
It is a Yagreet. Yagreet is an up-and-coming artist.
I know all about who Yagreet is.
Oh.
That's why I thought I'd insult you.
Well, Colonel, I don't... Well, I mean, I guess it's understandable. You know, someone of your esteem...
Please address me by my proper title, Colonel Booby. I am a blue-footed booby.
I'm sorry. I'm just adjusting to being in the bird community now.
Yeah, it's,
I only
it's
recently
a
found out I was
community.
A bird, so.
Yes, we are a tight flock.
Well, Colonel Booby, I'm sorry you don't enjoy my Yagreet. I've tried to decorate my nest as best I can. For a long time I thought I was a human. I only recently found out I had hollow legs.
Ask, how are you handling your legs that you have just recently discovered are hollow? It's how it works for all of us. We think that we have solid foundation, and there's nothing there.
I mean, for a long time I thought I had regular full legs, and now I have these hollow legs.
I don't know how to tell you this, but your life insurance policy is void. We didn't know about the legs.
You can't void this life insurance policy.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what to tell you. When I wrote this initial policy, I had no idea of your avian history.
I didn't know about my avian history either, nor did I know of my hollow legs. But I presume that you saw me in person when I signed the document. And if something happens to me, my children will be left with nothing because my husband left me after he found out I was a bird with hollow legs.
Honestly.
So now it's just me. If I'm in an accident...
I thought the feathers were a fashion decision.
Feathers? I really thought these were arms. I guess you're right. I'm a bird. I've been told I'm a bird. I'm a bird. I'm a bird. I have hollow legs and now I have feathers. It wasn't a fashion decision.
Bird, huh? I'm a dung beetle. I walk on my front legs. I roll a ball of doo-doo with my back legs. I'm a dung beetle.
It's very nice to meet you, Mr. Beetle. I didn't...
Yeah. We only got maybe about 30 seconds left, so before the bell rings. So So, what kind of legs you got? Mine's like an exoskeleton, so they're kind of, you might say, hollow.
You have hollow legs, too. Is it possible that I am part bird, part dung beetle? Could that be a thing? Could I be a dung bird?
I suppose it could be.
Move to the next table.
It was very. Yes. I'm going to mark you as a guest, so you know.
I'm going to roll this ball for you.
I got to move to the next table, but I have my eye on you.
Hi, I'm a velociraptor. I've been awfully lonely for several million years. I enjoy the films of Chris Pratt. What about you? Here I go, me.
I also enjoy Chris Pratt. he's wonderful. I'll be honest, I didn't expect to be single at this age. I used to be married to a human man, and I thought I was a human. And I'm going to say something that's possibly very offensive, but I thought your kind was extinct.
No, we've just evolved into various types of birds, many of whom have gone into hiding, pretending to be humans. I spent a long time as Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, I see the resemblance. Mm-hmm. I see it now along your scale line.
It's called a nose ridge. Yes.
Oh, yes, it's very prominent.
Glittering! Next table!
Well, I'm marking you as a yes!
I'm going to think about it.
Avoid asteroids!
Legit.
If you click on that link, Google will tell you the truth.
Now we'll never know with that legit call. We'll never know if that was a bird or if that was Ric Flair.
It's funny, and as I was thinking about this, like, there's like a bunch of pieces of art that were like in my parents' house for a long time, but there's one thing that I literally stole from my dad when after I'd been living in my apartment for like a year or so, and after my mom passed, like, my dad was like fully moving up to Oregon with his sisters. We were like packing all this stuff up, and there was this like piece of art that I was like, you know what? I don't want him to take this. I want it right now. And he will not notice because my dad has a memory problem. So he really won't never notice. And it's hanging. I just shared a link. It's not the actual thing, but it's like it's of that image. But it's wood. It's like a painted, like, giant piece of wood, and takes up like an entire wall of, and it's Marlene Dietrich from Der Blaue Angel, the Blue Angel. And it's like this real, like, I don't even know where my dad got it, how long it, but I've had it in my apartment for a long time. It's like right in front of my dining table, you know, in my living room. And it's something I've had forever. And I really love it. You know, it's like, it says Der Blaue Angel. It's in German. It's made of wood. It's really cool. That's my thing. Yeah.
It's a real neat photo.
Are you a fan of Marlene Dietrich?
I'm not really, but like something about it, because it was in my parents' house like for my whole life. And, you know, most of our family, my dad and my mom's side of family, is all German, Austrian, Hungarian, and then my dad's father's side is all that. So like the German of it was something that I just like really liked, you know, that it wasn't German, not English, and like, you know, this thing about it that it really, that I really was, I mean, attached to my whole life and wanted to keep and take from my dad without him ever noticing.
I think something really funny about the Wikipedia image that you shared is at the bottom there's a caption. So she's got her leg up. At the bottom it says her reclining position was one leg elevated, was selected after a dozen other attitudes were tested and discarded. Poor Marlene Dietrich was just like, hey, what about this one?
No.
No. What about this one?
No.
Hands on head, hand on knee, like, no.
One boob? Yeah.
Each of these under a petri dish with a microscope on them as they tested each position. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Discard it.
Yep. No
good. That's really how Hollywood was at the time, though.
She was hideous in all except for that position.
One.
And that's why it was not discarded. Jet, we're going to have to include some links or something to images in this episode.
Yes, no, I'm going to.
A very visual centered episode for
the question was about visual art.
Yes. Yeah.
Anybody got any art that lives rent free in their brain?
Every song by Bare Naked Ladies.
So, okay, I'll share the story because Jet didn't get the message I sent him.
No, I didn't.
My father had a bar in his house forever, as long as I lived with the man. And it was always like sports memorabilia and like neon light bar signs and a whole bunch of fun stuff. Except there was one red wood sign that would look, it was just beat to shit, and it said "Stud In" with the words "reasonable" on the bottom. And when we were putting this bar together, because you know that's what fathers and sons do, assemble a bar, I asked, why do we have this one thing? And he said, I've held on to this since I was 9 years old. And he was like,
oh, wow,
40 something. And I said, what happened? So apparently him and his family, they were going across the country from like Chicago to California, and they stopped to visit relatives in South Dakota. And in South Dakota, I guess at one of the rest stops or something, there was a burnt down bar. And he was going through this burnt down bar and found this red sign that said "Stud In," very little words at the bottom, "reasonable." And he just kept it for the whole time. My grandparents would be like, Scooter, you got to get rid of that. What are you going to do? All this stuff. And he's like, I'm going to have a bar one day and it's going to say "Stud In." I'm going to have the "Stud In." When he's 40, we're putting this bar together. He goes, after all this time, I finally have my "Stud In." I didn't get it at the time. And he's like, and one of these days when you move out from me, you will also have your "Stud In." And I was like, this is, I'm never owning this piece of wood. And I moved out, and years, you know, we didn't talk for a while because, you know, family's like that. And then we moved back in together and things are great. And then I had a girlfriend. We decided to get a place for our own, and you know, we're moving the stuff into my own apartment, and he gives me this one package, and I opened it up, and it was the "Stud In," reasonable. and he goes, put this in your room, and your room will be the "Stud In." I said, that's never going to happen. Also, I don't think my girlfriend would let me.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Was it spelled I-N-N?
Yeah. S-T-U-D-D-N.
Double D on the "Stud." Interesting.
Mm.
Super studly.
Studding reasonable.
Yeah. And it's, I don't have too many keepsakes, but I still have that god-awful bar sign, and I cannot wait to give it to my kid and scar him.
That's beautiful.
With memories and expectation. Mm-hmm. It's going to be lovely.
That's a hell of a birthright burden.
Right? Yeah. No one wants to do a scene off that? Okay, cool. Let's wrap it up. Good job, guys.
Super.
I wanted to have a talk with you. We've been talking a lot about moving in. I mean, I know I seemed like I was really into the idea, but my friends have pointed out that, I mean, there are some warning signs that will come along with living with
you. Like what?
I mean, the first thing they pointed out was, well, the sign that you have up in your apartment that says, not good for you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, it just seems like, now that I think about it, kind of obvious that, like, maybe you're, I don't know, not good for me.
Oh, no. That's like a family heirloom. It's just passed around from generation to generation.
Okay, all right, okay. I see, I didn't know, and that's the thing. I didn't know about
every
your family.
Every nerd bomb man receives the sign that says, not good for you. It's applicable in a lot of ways.
Son, the time has come. I'm gonna put this sign above the candy jar so you know what this candy is good for.
Not me.
Exactly.
See, I had never met any nerd bombs or heard about the other nerd bombs. And I mean, here's a question then. so long as we're getting asked these questions. Is there a story behind the fact that out in front of your house, you have two giant red flags that you fly?
Yeah, there is a story. Those flags are heirlooms.
Okay. All right. Is it another nerd bomb heirloom? Or from your other side of the family, the
Wibblemeers? It's from the other side of the family, the Earnhardts.
Oh, the Earnhardts. Okay.
Yeah. Which was actually my mother's stepfather's side.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Which is why it wasn't the name that you said a minute ago.
Oh, my God. Are you related to Dale Earnhardt?
Yes.
Is that what the red flag comes from?
Yep. Each flag is a racing flag. One flag is the flag for stop, you did it, you've won the race. And the other flag is, oh no, you won the race of life.
Yeah.
And it's also stop.
Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying.
Yep.
Oh my God. See?
Because he passed
that's
away.
That's the thing. You know, my friends, they just got in my head and I just got to ask these questions. Okay.
Can I ask you about...
Go. Oh, yes, yes, go ahead.
You go.
Okay. I wanted to ask too. This is so us. One of the other things they pointed out was the picture of you being married to another person.
Yeah, well, I was.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, did you want more information about that?
Sure. Yeah. Is it still going? Because it's still up. Most people take those down.
I looked really good that day.
You did. Like a handsome little James Bond.
Yeah, I worked hard. I actually did the Tom Cruise training diet.
You know, that explains those pictures of you running in dangerous situations.
Yeah, I just ran.
In the other room. Okay.
That's really what the diet is. It's a lot of running.
Yeah.
And then slamming protein.
Mm-hmm. Just lots of blade arms when you're running. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Is it my turn? Oh, no.
Yo, go ahead.
Oh, no, did you want to talk about your feelings? Go.
No. No. If there's anything I've learned, we can talk
about
that. Talk about
your feelings?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just wondering why you're wearing a shirt that says, I want to break up with you.
Oh, this old thing? I won this at a raffle on the way here. That's why I was late. I stopped at a raffle. One of the things you're going to learn about me being my live-in partner is that I cannot say no to a raffle. If I've got a chance to put in a dollar for a ticket, I am in it. It doesn't matter if it's for ice cream
or
if it's a free hammer or I'm in it.
Step right up if you'd like some raffle tickets on the breakup raffle. We've got so many great prizes here that you can use to break up with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your non-binary friend, whatever you want.
Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and... hey, hon, do you have any singles on you?
Yeah, I got a... Yeah, sorry. I brought my wife.
Oh my gosh!
I'm sorry, I know this is awkward.
No! I mean, I've been staring at your picture so long. It's nice to finally meet you.
It's nice to meet you too.
Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna want a whole roll of tickets. Let me get $10
worth. I walk on my front legs and I roll my dump. Hey!
Oh my god, this is so embarrassing.
Hey, wait a minute. I just met you at speed dating and you were just getting used to those hollow legs and you're already, looks like you're in a relationship.
I actually am married now.
Okay.
to this lovely person.
I mean, technically, we've been married. I just left her.
It's an awkward situation.
It is the breakup. Yeah, I was gonna break up with my, I need it to every ball of dung I make. I got to break up with it. I form an intimate relationship. That's why I was here. But,
wow, that's a lot of shirts.
Yeah, yeah. I put a little shirt on each ball of dung. It's pretty cute.
Oh, that's adorable. Man, I really miss... I'm so sorry that I never met you for a date. I really think this would have worked out. I mean, we both have hollow legs. I mean, who knows what that would have sounded like.
Hey, can we get another roll of tickets? It looks like something's about to happen here.
Yeah,
I got you right here.
I need a bunch of tickets myself.
I mean, I roll all day, every day, so... I hope you don't run out of tickets, boss.
Oh, there's always plenty here. We got you covered.
So when is this raffle happening? Because I thought you were like imminently about to pull a number.
No, I mean, at this point, I keep the raffle open as long as people are buying the tickets.
Do we have to be
just keep the money coming?
To win? Or can do we write our numbers on the back?
You want to write your number on the back of the ticket?
Oh my God, not like that. Clearly, I'm in a relationship with someone who's previously married to a person who then had a brief relationship with a dung beetle. Can't you read the signs?
This is also a little offensive to folks with hollow legs. It's don't have a way to actually grasp a writing utensil.
My apologies. The diversity training that we went through did not cover me for every scenario, and sometimes I really step in that shit.
I'm wondering if we can custom make our own winning shirt. For example, I no longer want to be your wife, and I am interested in going on a second date with a dung beetle. Is that something I can have?
No, people make that mistake all the time. We sell toilets here, not shirts. Not shirts. We sell toilets here. It's not shirts. It's a common
mistake.
Legit.
Legit.
Oh, and that's how we wrap up an episode.
Sure is. Sure
Michael
is,
Hyman,
Jet.
What you got for us?
Thank you, as always, to Matt Walker for our intro and outro music. This episode was hosted and edited by Jet Kaufman, edited by Chris Sanders, and co-hosted by me, Michael Hyman. Every scene you heard today was improvised on the spot, along with some of the ads, with only a light touch of editing for your comfort. If you're loving what we're doing, pause real quick, stop pushing that dung beetle-sized mound of poo, and write a 5-star review before you close the app, and tell your friends about us. Tonight's regular cast included Josh Best, Jen Burton, Chris Sanders, Stephen C. James, and our very special guest, Jillian Bellinger. Jillian,
woo!
Do you want to share places people can follow you, find you on social media, stalk you, perhaps find your budding improv theater?
Woo! Oh, yeah. You could go to @ Jillian Bellinger on the Instagram. And I will just let everyone know, because it's not obvious in America anyway, that Jillian starts with a G.
Ah.
Ooh, yes.
Yep. It's a silent yet audible G. And
like GIF. Like
don't that. Start this battle, Michael Hyman.
Like that. Or you could look up Misfit AVL, which is the abbreviation for Asheville. Misfit AVL on Instagram.
Great. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you all for joining me on the season premiere, season two premiere of the Super Legit Podcast.
Season two. Brr, 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 brr.
Woo! Two for twice as good.
Yes.
Hey, Jet.
Yeah. What's up, Josh?
I just wanted to tell you that you're the Magritte to my degree.
Thank you, buddy. And you are the bird to my dung beetle.
I don't believe anything's on all my time. I kick the door on its hinges just so I could move on.
Wait, which one of us invited Jillian onto the show?
Well, combo
I think it was a conversation between Jen and Jillian. I was like, I've always been a fan of hers. Let's have her on. And then she was like, yeah, let's do this. And then it was like that.
Was it a combo platter, Jen, or was it a poo-poo platter?
I mean,
AKA a dung platter.
That person should know that Jillian really likes them because she came in knowing nothing and was like, yep, I'll do it. Yep. Great. Yep. You invited me. I'm going to be there.
This is going to be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that was some faith. Thank you for that.
It was on Jen Burton's Facebook page by accident.
But I was very excited to.
I mean, that's not an untrue statement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that if, you know.
Yeah, if Jen Burton's there,
if Jen's doing it, it must be good.
Yeah. What?
She's the Jeffrey Wright of hanging out. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Jen's the best. This is fact.
Have I died and gone to heaven? This is my dream.
You have died and gone to the loudest apartment in the world, apparently.
I hate my apartment so much. I really had, for the last 3 weeks, the people upstairs have been on vacation, and I convinced myself that they had moved, and I was so excited. And then last night at 10:30 p.m., they rolled back in after 3 weeks gone, and I was like, this is... And they've, of course, all day
they made up
been
for
like,
last time,
yeah.
right?
Yes, yeah. They're like, let's turn on everything at 100% and then just start hammering directly overhead where you're recording a podcast. And then the ice cream truck that shows up at 9:30 on Friday night.
That's a weird
Saturday
time.
Nights. Yeah. It's because it's Koreatown. Koreatown, every time I'm like, it's Koreatown, I think of
forget
what's
it, Jen.
His face
it's
going.
Koreatown.
That's exactly the line I think of. That is what I think of. That's what I say to myself. I say, forget it, Jen. It's Koreatown. Mm-hmm. Anytime I have a complaint.